Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you doing on this fine day, sir?
I am delighted to be here.
Oh, excellent. Good to, you might want to tell your attitude before we turn on the microphones. If you listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast, that's a little reminder. Fuck my life right now. Jesus Christ. So much technical difficulty before the show even started. And if you listen live, I was playing a little Traveling Wilburys, The End of the Line, and enjoying a good sing-along with these fantastic gents here. And I was singing that delightful chorus. And then Paco, he decides to say, hey, who sings that song? And I said, oh, it's the Traveling Wilburys. And he goes, why don't you keep it that way? Maybe there's a misunderstanding that I have of myself.
It was, why don't you let them sing it?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. As long as you're going
to
throw me
under
the bus.
I did not mean
here
to misquote your rudeness.
Oh, my goodness. Now, listen.
What?
Just all kind of falseness in the story you just told.
Okay.
It starts to make me question every story you've ever told us.
All right. I'm listening.
Because you didn't go, well, it's all right. Like, you sing like that under your breath all the time.
Yeah.
Charming and delightful. You belted it out like you were Ringo Starr. And that's a pretty good,
But you trailed off there.
What? Yeah, comparison. I am an old man. I had a stroke. I couldn't think of the word comparison. So
what you're saying is,
yes,
just so we're all clear here,
yeah,
is that in your opinion,
sure,
I am not allowed to sing in the studio that I built on the property that I own on the show that I pay for. I should not be allowed such leisures.
You will, of course, do whatever you want to.
Right.
There you go.
And I would like to do it without any fucking guff.
No.
Is what I would like to happen. I picked up a can of compressed air and he got scared.
I reared back.
No, it's a friend of mine was here and we had that. All right.
I don't think I want to know.
We are 5 minutes in, and we have a caller, so let's see if
wow
the phone system works. If you'd like to call, you can call us at 877-222. That's not correct. Yeah, no, that's right. 8323. 877-222-8323. See, Jessica understands in the chat room. She said, sing away, Justin. You're footing the bill. That is how things work in my world. Caller 251 area code. Who is this? And let's hope we can hear you. Awesome.
Hi.
Oh, good.
Hi.
You know what? The phone system is working, but wherever the 251 area code is seems to be on the surface of the moon.
No, that was just NSA building. I'm passing. They kind of jammed your signal.
Wait, are you serious? You're in an NSA building?
Yeah, you pass by it on the road, straight by the NSA. I don't have MSLR, so I called in to listen.
So you called in
awesome
to listen to the show live because you don't have. While we're talking about
yeah
footing the bill, thank you for calling. I'm going to just mute you so you could continue to cost me money. Here's the thing. When you call in live, I pay 3 cents a minute
right
for you to sit and listen to the show. Or you could get the free app. And then it only costs you your data connection,
right,
whatever that may be. But because I like humor and have decided that I'm independently wealthy, I'm just going to allow that man with this. I hope the show sounds as good as he does.
Right.
While he's listening, I
yes
hope that what
true
he's actually.
Yeah.
I hope the show's as good as he does. NSA building.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like Earth to Moon type communication. It sounded like speaking to somebody on a
you
space
know what
station.
Honestly, the audio from the lunar landing was better.
Actually,
it right was a more solid connection. My dad, he does ham radio. He could probably work it out for us.
I just love the fact that the phone hasn't rung, or at least we haven't noticed that it was ringing in a good 6 months, maybe then, a year. Yeah. The first time we speak to someone completely.
They don't even want to talk to us.
And they don't want to talk to us. Right. Yes.
Wonder why I don't go to the phones more? Wonder why I don't plug that anymore?
Well, there you go.
Things could be, well, that's, oh, here,
and
now
he
I started.
He was determined because you haven't plugged the phone in ages.
I always plug it in. It's open every time.
No, but you don't talk, you don't give out the
Nobody
number.
Nobody called.
Because also giving out the number on a podcast okay. that airs.
This is not going to break
mind.
Well for you. This is not going to okay. go well
sorry,
for Paco.
Sorry. I'll turn it back over.
Let's, well, hold on. We're what? We're 5 minutes in. Yeah. We're 5 minutes in, and ultimately, it's all, you don't do this.
No.
You don't sing well.
You don't understand.
I don't understand. Clarify, please. Clarify your statement of, I don't turn on the phone.
No. You don't. It's not that you don't turn on the phone. What I was saying was, that guy had the number at his fingertips, phone number that does not get repeated, but... is repeated about as much as Halley's Comet comes around. We don't give out the number anymore. It's not that the phone isn't turned on.
Is that
on.
Another passive-aggressive comment that I don't give the phone number out?
No. My God. All right. I see what kind of day we're going to have.
The frustration on your face brings me great pleasure.
Yes, I bet. Are you in league with Luna?
Am I in league with that?
Yeah, to deliberately misunderstand everything that comes out
well,
of my mouth.
Well, let's think about it. What is the common variable in these situations you brought to the table?
Oh, that you're both bitches.
That's it.
There you go.
That's probably, you know what? That is, I'm going to throw out there, that's probably more of the solution
you're
than it is the problem.
You're taking her side and you don't even know there's a side.
I don't. You're right.
Yeah, there.
That should also tell you Oh, fuck, it's Friday. I'm so happy it's Friday. Here's what happened to me in the parenting world, and I want to do some research into it and talk about it a little bit more, is that I, as we all know, my children play Call of Duty, and they have a friend who can come over and play Call of Duty. I've made it very clear, because they'll have friends come over and play video games from time to time after school, and
sure.
I say, here's the thing, no friends play Call of Duty. None whatsoever. But there is one friend that they have who mom has said, oh, no, it's totally fine by me. We are very like-minded parents, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge fan of let me make this clear, too. I'm a huge fan of all of the parents that we kind of hang around. It's a really awesome group. If I was not a huge fan, I would not spend a moment burning calories over said things. I would probably drop a good go fuck yourself and move on. But anyway.
Yes.
And if she ever does find this show and decide to listen to it, I will first say that there is no ill will. But I have to bring these things up because they happen in my life.
Yeah.
And I talk about them because I think we can all relate to these kinds of situations, although most of you probably not letting your kids play Call of Duty, but have something similar. I think it's that we live in a world where it's like, oh, little Jimmy doesn't need high fructose corn syrup or red dye number 47. You know, that's the world that we've decided to paint for our children. I don't like it. Because we had plans. There was going to be a play date with the friend who could play Call of Duty. Another friend wanted to come with and came up after school. Mom said, hey, is it cool if he comes too? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
And, but then Call of Duty was already mentioned. And here's the other thing to add to it. This, young man had come over to the house before and I was out mowing the yard. I come back inside. They're playing Call of Duty. Have I told this story
already? No, you haven't. Okay. You're saying the now the interloper, the extra child.
The guest has the man who came to dinner is playing Call of Duty. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's okay. And I go, hey, is it cool that you're playing Call of Duty to the kid?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, it's fine. He goes, my mom doesn't let me play it at home, but I can play it here.
Sure.
And I know that he's got an older teenage brother, so I was like, oh, it's probably more for lack of doesn't want to create a conflict. Because if I remember being the little brother, my older stepbrother, very annoyed by me. I don't know why. did not like to hang out with me, constantly beating me up just to scare me away. But like an abusive lover. I was just constantly coming back for more, more, just anything to accept me.
Yeah.
And so I go, oh, okay, until I go into the kitchen and I was cutting up some pizza that I'd gotten pizza for them. And then all of a sudden he goes, hey, don't tell my mom about Call of Duty to Jacob.
Yeah.
But he does it in the dumb first grade thing of like, hey, like a stage whisper.
Right.
He doesn't understand that sound could travel around a corner.
Right.
It's the great part about having young children is that in a lot of ways, this kid is a great kid. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm more talking about my children now. In a lot of ways, their youth brings great stupidity.
Yes.
And it makes things easy.
And part of it was that he thought that was the key person to tell.
Yes.
Because I don't know how many conversations
Jacob has with
Jacob and the mother strike up with one another.
So true.
On a smoke break, maybe, something.
So I go, all right. I pull out my phone and I say, hey, is it cool if he plays Call of Duty? She, of course, is a real parent and has no idea what Call of Duty is.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, is it violent? I go, yeah. That's hard to text. You know, that's a lot of E's and G's. And I said, yeah, it's a shooting game. And she goes, oh, Tyler, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Tyler's my nephew. Sorry. The older one has it. And she goes, but I don't let him play it. I said, okay, well, so you know, I was outside. I didn't know. He played a little bit, but no more. It's done.
Yeah.
So then I have to get to have the fun interaction of going to Man Who Came to Dinner and say, hey, by the way, no more Call of Duty after you guys enjoy your pizza break. And they were like, why? I go, well, I talked to your mom, and she said you're actually not allowed to play it.
Mm-hmm.
To this kid's credit, love him. I mean, you would call him incomparable with his performance because he was like, what? That's no joke. That's weird.
Right.
And like still look locked in the eyes. Just cold right in the eyes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, yeah, right? And then he goes, psh, I'm not kidding. He goes, psh, she didn't tell me that.
Oh, my God.
I go, well, she told me, so sorry. And so now they're coming over again, and there was mention of Call of Duty. So he gets upset because he knows he can't play it.
Sure.
And mom is kind of like, she's a very sweet lady. She's such a wonderful. In fact, I like her to an extent that I'm fearful that by giving her compliments, it sounds like I'm being a creep. You can't be a dad who hangs around with moms and not be aware of being a creep. And
yes.
I'm not good at filtering, so things just fly out of my face. And they're not offensive. It's just like, that tight top looks hot.
I
never say that.
I got some news for you.
What?
I never felt like a creep when I hung around with these other mothers because I didn't say things that were creepy.
Oh.
I saved that for you.
I find that very shocking. Maybe you just didn't know.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe I'm hypersensitive. Maybe I'm not really creepy. But it's I want to be one of the girls.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, they all have leggings parties. It's a thing with this lady. There's a lady who makes leggings, and I want to go. And
is that anything like scissoring?
I wish.
Right.
I would so be at that party with popcorn. No, it's like, they're like yoga pants.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So they have like cool prints, and the idea of it is that this lady only buys a certain amount of fabric and makes like three or four of each size, and then that's all. So you can have like your own kind of leggings.
That is exciting.
And they're like Tupperware parties, but leggings. And they were all talking about it. And I was like, and they were all saying, oh, you should come next time to everybody else
except
me.
The one thing I think about when I think about women putting on leggings is keeping the freshness in.
Wow. You honestly are going to sit here and tell me that you never said anything creepy to the... How many of these women are you still in touch with?
I ran into one the other day who was delighted to see me.
Is that what she said?
No, she... I walked
right
past her.
Where did you run into said victim?
At the movie theaters.
Oh, come on.
No, she was
You're there
fella.
Like every 15 minutes.
She was with her husband. She didn't go, oh, hi, Adam. Now, she could have just slipped right by me and never said anything. She said, oh, hi. And I went, hi. And then she went, I got to go. I'm too busy to stand and talk.
No, that totally sounds like somebody missed you.
Yeah.
No,
but the look on her face, she had to
Oh, yeah. If I would have seen the look on her face.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. But just on the transcript alone, sounds like she's like, hey, I got to go.
Your approach with this boy strikes me like if you were a cop and you came across somebody sneaking out of a thing. The back door of an appliance thing after hours with a TV in his arms. That's yours, right? Oh, yeah, this one's mine. I mean, if you ask the kid, are you allowed? Of course he's going to go, completely.
That's not on me, then. Listen, if somebody asked my kid, even if my son had a nut allergy.
Yes.
Right? And if somebody went to my son and said, can you eat honey roasted peanuts? And if my son said yes. And then went into anaphylactic shock.
Hang on a second.
That is on my kid. That is not.
No. That is not fair because that's death, as opposed to orgasmic fun with a shooting video.
Oh,
game.
I see. The threat of you're saying it's like offering him heroin.
Yeah, no, let's switch it up. What if there was something you didn't want your kids to play? I can't imagine what that would be.
But well, this is hard for me to grasp.
Pretend there was something you didn't want your kids to do, and they knew you didn't want them to do it.
Okay. Smoke cigarettes.
Okay, fine. Whatever it is. Well, it doesn't quite work that way, but thank you, because what other parent is going to come up and go, hey, does your dad mind if you smoke cigarettes?
Well, try being the other parent. You're like, you let your kids play Call of Duty?
Well, there is that.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think some of them would rather they smoke cigarettes.
That's what you got to do with this kid. Say there's no Call of Duty.
Unless you can polish off a pack.
Right. We're going to light up.
So I know you're a real man.
No, I'm trying to say, like, if you told your kids, no, I don't want you to do that, and then they went to somebody else's house and said, oh, my dad doesn't have a problem, and then you got contacted by the other parent, would you be pissed at your kid?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I wanted to find
out.
Absolutely.
Do you think I shouldn't be?
No. So that your kids would know, I better just say the truth.
Yes.
Because that's... Because if it gets out I didn't, then I'm in fucking trouble.
That's another thing.
This all goes back to that other parent.
Yeah, that's another thing that happened. But we're trying to come to the house to play games. Mom's upset, and she's like, oh, I feel bad because I don't like the idea of him being the only one.
Yeah, right.
And I told her, I go, whoa, time out. Here's the thing. You are not the only one. I said, if anything, I go, there are probably two kids at this entire school that are allowed to play Call of Duty. Yeah. One of them is my son. The other one is his friend.
Right.
That's it. We are the minority. It's not him. It's not you.
I'm fairly permissive with my own kids and was from when they were fairly early age. And I'm shocked by what you're doing.
Really?
Sort of. Not offended, not judgmentally, but going... Wow, I don't think I ever could have taken it. I mean, it's the next logical step.
Let me explain my logic. I'm really debating. It's very interesting to look at myself hypocritically in that I'm debating whether or not I would feel the same thing about sexual content.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, here's my logic behind it. The reason I would be uncomfortable showing them something that is graphic sexually is because I think that that is a definite. They are definitely at some point going to have some kind of sexual interaction with someone in their life. And the idea of that being something that I get to intervene in, you know what I mean, is slim to none.
Okay, I see.
You know what I mean? Whereas if Jacob goes to school and he gets in a fight or decides to fashion a plastic spork into a knife and do a knife attack like he's seen on Call of Duty, then I get to come into him and go, no, that's not how it works. Or if when they were, like, they play Call of Duty with each other, they go around with the play guns and stuff like that.
Right, it's Cowboys and Indians from
exactly
years gone by.
And if they, when they did that, if they were, like, trying to hurt each other, if it wasn't anything but just fake having fun the way, in my opinion, boys have fun, I would be worried about it. But these are both children that have accidentally hurt each other and immediately felt so much guilt and ashamed that they just get upset. Mm-hmm. So I'm not dealing with serial killers here. Jack, I'm on the fence about. Okay. But so that's why that stuff doesn't worry about it. But the point of the story was that another parent felt, I guess, much stronger than you did, or at least maybe she was mostly joking. But she said, she goes, wait, this is the second time it's come up, which is why I love. She's like, you let your kids, you know, weirdly enough.
The first time it was just a text you sent and that was that.
No. This is a different mom. I'm sorry.
Oh, right.
It was a different mom who was also there. And she was the mom who I told the story where Jack goes, can we play Call of Duty?
I remember. Yeah.
And she said, I don't even let my husband play Call of Duty in front of the kids. And all I kept thinking was, like, that poor bastard.
Right.
Like, what a treat. But no, she's a great lady. So she's like, we've already gone this lap, but she's, I guess, giving me the opportunity to lie again. Like, I guess a kid would have liked. But she goes, wait, you let them play Call of Duty? And I said, yeah. She goes, I think, and she looks at the mom who's debating this. She goes, just tell him I said it was a bad idea. Like, I'm like, what? Who the fuck are you to this kid?
Right.
I mean, I get what she's doing. She's like, she's trying to create solidarity.
Right.
But she goes, I think they're way too young.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I get it. Like, I'm not going to argue this. This is what I love about people is that I'm not going to, she drops it out there. I don't think this is really her intention, but I think it's a human thing that we all do. She lobs it out there and it's like, what are you going to do with it? And she's hoping that I pounce on it and get uber defensive. But the problem is, I guess, for her angle is that I'm not, I don't have really a strong desire. There was a time I did, but not anymore. I don't feel like I need to defend my parenting tactics to anybody. I feel like I've got good, sweet kids that are growing in a way that I'm very happy with, and that's all that matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, I judge you, is what she says.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I said, and I just laughed. I go, you could judge me all you want. I said, in fact, you can even pretend like you're the first one and going to be the last, like, right, for all right. I care. And she goes, no, no, no. Like, and then she goes, well, a little. Like,
sure, sure.
And I, that's the thing. And so, like, there's a part of me that was like, I feel bad. I feel bad for the kid that wants to play Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
To explain myself and rationalize it, for just on the off chance that there's either A, somebody that's listening that maybe feels the same way I do, or B, if you are, feel very strongly against me and are paging an email, well, let me give you my version of the argument so you can punch holes in it, is that I draw everything back to. It all comes back to perspective. Where does everything come from?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I have known grown adults who have had multiple adults, not just an adult. Multiple adults, this exact example, have had the villain parts of Disney movies fast-forwarded. I'm not even talking about the horrible scene at the beginning of Finding Nemo that we all skipped ahead just because there was a chapter right. button. And as if that was, then why does the chapter start right after it? The people at Pixar knew what they were doing.
Yeah, right.
No, just like even if the villain's singing a song, like they just skip through it.
Yeah.
And those people, now I'm not saying it's just because of that. What I'm saying is that is a small, isolated example of what is a larger umbrella of the urge to protect, the urge to shelter, and to keep anything bad or negative hitting the brain of the kid. Now, the same reason why I think that those people think that their kids are too young to handle digital violence in a proper way is because they either aren't interested, don't know how, or maybe that's not even fair to them, and that they just think that's not the time for them to prepare or to have that, to have to deal with that. To me, I just feel like let the hits come. When the hits come, the hits come.
Yeah.
And if I'm there to kind of walk them through it, then great. And we make fun of me a lot on the show, but I feel
by
like
walk them through it, you mean emotionally, not no, no, you got to hit the Z button to get the head to pop off.
Both. Okay. Both. No, I don't. Yeah, no, I don't teach them. It's funny that they
you teach
found
them
it on
the
their
kill,
own.
The kill maneuvers.
I don't teach them that. I've taught them, like, it's funny that they've learned on their own, and they joke around like boys. They say, I shot him in the penis, and then they think that's
right.
funny.
Right.
But no, I think that I just tell them that it's not real. Like the same reason, like when Jacob wanted to see Walking Dead, I don't see the injustice, or I don't know, the lack of parenting. To me, I think it is parenting that I sat down with him. I didn't put it on and walk away.
No one is. First of all, had you sat down with him, had you put it on and walked away, had you stripped down and done somersaults in your underpants, all of it would have been parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether or not it would have been helpful parenting or not. Or
I think it is
positive.
I think it is because he hit things hit him, and then he's able to process them. And mm-hmm. that's I feel like there's a lot of just these isolated examples. It's the same reason why I say that I don't watch my language in front of my kids, because I don't mm-hmm. want them to be the kind of people who hear somebody say "cum guzzling butt slut" and they go, "Oh, you know what I mean," and clutch their pearls.
Sure,
but at the same time,
I would argue that none of us should hear "cum guzzling butt slut." Is that what you said?
You don't hear that on a day to day level?
No, I don't. And nor do I. Know. I don't want to say
maybe
it. I don't want to hear it.
I just would travel in weird
social
circles.
That should be the title of this episode.
What's his bucket? I forgot his name. His book. Scott Beeson would love it. His book still. Oh no! Oh no! Man down! I knocked over my drink. Yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
That was.
Oh wait! Get the laptop. Get the laptop. Yeah, get the laptop. Yeah. Get the laptop.
Oh, it's really moving.
Oh geez. Oh, that was bad news bears.
Oh, no.
That was bad news bears. Is your laptop okay?
Well, yeah, it just smells like a brewery in here now. But
that is some fine bourbon and ginger ale that's all over the desk here. Let me get this slopped up.
Oh, my gosh.
Here, hold on. We'll be back after this brief pause, unless you're listening live. All right, through the magic of podcasting, what was probably, I don't know, 10 minutes? Is that fair to say, you think?
Not even quite that.
All right, so that was a little quick cleanup. You sure your laptop's fine?
I think so. It didn't land on the keyboard.
Oh, okay, good. So, yeah, so I spilled a drink. I don't know what what was salvaged out of that craziness. I can't even remember what I saw. So what I guess I was saying, do you remember what I was saying, Paco?
She
could have went back and checked the tape. So here's what I was saying. So the lady says, I judge you. I say, you judge me. And there, I guess I was, oh, this is what it was. Here, I want them to be able to process those things. I want them to be able to have it hit them and be it's okay because, ah, now I've remembered. Maybe I even should start here.
Sure, let's.
So here's the thing. The reason I like it is because I've had people that have had movies fast-forwarded. That's what I was saying, right?
Yeah,
the villains.
Yeah.
And then they grow up, and they are very sensitive. They are hypersensitive to the world around them. And I don't necessarily think that they should not be. That's not my point either.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that my kids should not be. Does that make sense? Like, I'm very open to people living their own lives. I don't think everybody should do things in the way that I do them by any means.
Yes, here's the thing. The fact that they are sensitive to the world around them cannot be directly traced, I don't think, to the singular incident of, you know, like my folks used to shut off West Side Story for my younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere two-thirds of the way in. She never saw how poorly it all ended in the Romeo and Juliet tradition.
Right.
So she just thought it was this wonderful love Hollywood story.
Ending.
Everything was fine, you know. So, but she didn't grow up to be a person who was hypersensitive to the world. So my guess is that was just that.
She's not hypersensitive.
No.
She's not easily stressed.
I can't specifically, I don't know. No, I don't think she is. Hang on a second. This is my real point. That the fast forwarding was only one of many things that those parents did to those children to. And so if they had let them watch that Disney stuff, those people you're talking about would still be probably who they were. I don't think it was the fact that they didn't get to see Ursula.
No, that's what I said. I said that
song.
I don't think it was just that. I think it was part of the umbrella that these are the that if you have the instinct.
That's fine, but hang on. But you're a real all or nothing guy, and this is what bothers me. It's because I don't think just because that's your idea that you don't want to shelter your sons from these things, that doesn't then, ipso facto, doesn't follow that they, at the ages of 6 or 7 or whatever it is, should be handling digital machine guns and killing guys. You don't have to believe what you believe and then also let them play Call of Duty. You could say no to
I could.
Call of Duty and let that be something that they did when they were a little older and still not be hypocritical to your own.
To me, it would be.
I know.
I think it would be hypocritical for me to, like, because, and that's why I say
but
even.
But then let's get them over and see Debbie Does Dallas, because that's just as hypocritical.
To me, no.
You can't have both.
Yes, I can.
Why? How does that make sense?
Because what I said earlier. You
That's
should
nonsense.
Try listening
what
from the beginning.
What you said earlier was nonsense, and I didn't call you on it then, but I'll call you on it now. It was nonsense.
Paco's getting heated. It's about to get real, everybody.
Well,
buckle up. So here's the thing.
Yes.
What I said earlier was that the idea of them having a sexual interaction, that could really happen and will really happen. But the idea of them going and purchasing a gun for the purposes of gunning people down.
But you didn't say gun. You said he makes a shank out of a spork on the schoolyard and stabs a guy. No, it's not, because you can't help that kid. Is it? The blood is gushing out his neck because your son fucking knifed him on the schoolyard. You're not going to be there when they have sex, and you're not going to be there when they're 22 in the fucking 7-Eleven.
I am here when they're interacting with each other. I am here when they're interacting with their friends.
Yes, except for when you're mowing the yard.
What are you talking? I'm still here.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. In the larger sense.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I love how you always try to find these, like, massive loopholes in my...
No, I'm not always trying to find anything. I don't buy your explanation that since you're not going to be there when they eventually have sex, that means that they can kill guys on Call of Duty. I don't feel like there's... I don't make that... I'm not getting that connection that you're laying out. It doesn't run as cleanly to me as it does through your mind.
All right. Well, let's see.
By the way,
for the sake of...
Hang on. I am not judging you. Unlike that woman,
you're
I'm
very
not judging
angry.
You. Well, no.
You're very
I'm
angry.
Passionate.
Your face got
Hang
red.
Hang on a second. Here's the thing. I am very...
You're acting as if I have unjustly treated you in some fashion.
You have unjustly treated logic and argument. That's where I get passionate. Because, like, I'll have a fight with somebody just because they say something indefensible, not because I really think that the opposing point is true. It's that I don't buy into their train of logic. And I don't fully buy your – you haven't convinced me of your train of logic.
But, okay, why
but
is it
– in the end, I don't care.
Why is it – well, you clearly care.
No, but I don't care what you do.
You just said I'm
kids.
Very passionate.
I'm very passionate about like – the logic flowing all the way through, and I feel a disconnect in the logic as you're presenting it. It doesn't flow all the way through to me, and so I'm passionate about that disconnect, not about whether or not your kids play Call of Duty or whether or not you show them.
Okay,
because you're making a distinction of those two things. Your reasoning behind how they're actually different, so you can be hypocritical. It doesn't really hold water in the world you've already created. As you've described.
Okay, well then help me. Ask me questions that then I can answer to so that I can either connect those. Because here's the thing. I believe what I believe, yeah. And I don't know that my mind can be changed, but if it was just that, I would say, well, let's move on. We'll talk about something
okay,
else.
Okay, well, here's
but
the
on
thing.
The off chance that somebody else is, or not off chance, I'm sorry, on the chance that somebody else is listening to this going, I don't see that connection. Then I want to be able to properly explain myself.
And I would appreciate any help. If people who are listening now and can chime in go, he makes perfect sense, shut up,
no.
Paco, then that's fine too.
No, I just want you to...
Well, just going back to the either or, mm-hmm. and you're saying that showing your... Now, hang on a second. Don't make it Call of Duty.
Okay.
Okay? Because there is no comparable... sex game they could be playing or that we would want to waste our time on.
Grand Theft Auto, you pick up a hooker.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with her? There's not full penetration.
Oh, I see. You're not mimicking the act.
Yeah. So take the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan,
mm-hmm.
the D-Day landing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you comfortably watch with them?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a movie.
Right.
It's not they're not engaged in it. Because once they start engaging in it like a video game, your relationship to it becomes different. I'm not saying
but
it's
how?
Worse. Well, simply, if it was exactly the same, there would be no... You wouldn't have video games. You wouldn't need them. You would already have something that satisfies you.
I think that there's a flaw in your connection in that the whole point of how video games have progressed is that they have become more cinematic. In nature, for the sake of, in many ways, mimicking that art form.
Only because that's the art form that we see the world in. They've become more photorealistic. They've not necessarily become more cinematic.
Oh, yeah.
No. Until Hardcore Henry, there has been no first-person shooter movie that I know of.
I'm saying that's going the other way. I'm saying that video games are cinematic in nature and have become more so.
Okay. I was saying let's set aside video games for the moment.
Okay.
Just compare apples to apples.
Okay.
Because I feel like comparing them playing a video game.
But then you said that the difference between movies and a video game is that they are acting it out. So you brought it back in. That's why I'm saying that.
But you engage in a video game.
Right.
You control the outcome to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You don't do that with a movie. Your brain connects with a video game differently than it does with a movie, whether the video game is cinematic or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I was saying. Because that takes it to a different place than you just sitting watching a porno. So if you take a movie like Saving Private Ryan, and you have a level of comfort watching that with them, which is exposing them to a level of carnage that is realistic and devastating. I mean, it's hard for me to watch it as a 50-year-old for what it has in it. I have trouble processing it all as a 50-year-old. I would not have those tools as a 5-year-old. I'm only saying that because it's a cute balance of the... numerically. So you've got Saving Private Ryan on one hand. What is the equivalent of that in porn? Showtime. What do they call that?
Skinamax.
Not Skinamax. That's not nearly...
Because that soft core is your
That's
age,
not nearly graphic enough to compare.
Ass Vacation 7.
Well, I'm saying it really has to be the whatever that cum-guzzling...
Butt slut. That was Natalie's thing of making an improv show dirty. That's where I got
that.
That's a Natalie turn
that's
of phrase.
That's a Natalie original. You have to get her in here to say that. So a literal XXX hardcore pornography is the equivalent, but you're not... And this isn't a judgment on you. You're saying that... That's different because of how they will eventually, Yes, they're much more likely to have sex with people, so it's much more likely that you should be there to guide them through understanding sex than it is the violence part. Because they're never going to, that they're going to be that violent is unlikely. So they really need your guidance with the sex.
But I cannot observe, here's what I'm saying. Yes. This is my interpretation of it.
Okay.
I cannot observe their sexual interaction.
Yes.
That is something that, by nature, they will do aloof from me unless I catch them in the act.
Right.
Right?
Yes, I can give you notes about that, by the way.
Go ahead.
No, I'm joking.
Oh. I can, however, watch how they interact with their friends, watch how they interact with their siblings,
okay,
and watch how they interact with the world around them. And to me, that is a way that I can gauge their tendency towards violence.
Okay. So I want to back you up because, again, I feel like this is when you're talking about them being involved in sexual activity that you're not going to watch, you're not necessarily talking on full-on penetration, you should pardon the expression, but everything that goes from puppy love hand-holding up through, you know, necking and heavy petting and so on and so forth, where you're through that whole spectrum.
Yeah, I think I'm more leaning towards the more advanced than I am hand-holding and things like that.
Okay, but I mean, hand-holding would be that's like a gateway activity for sex.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's over here. And yes, you can observe them with their friends, but you are as likely to be standing there the first time one of your kids throws a punch at another kid as you are when he kisses a girl. You're not going to witness either of those things. It's sort of wishful thinking on your part that you would be able to, quote unquote, intervene in some way. Or let's bump it up in another 18 and it's a bar fight
I see. Well, you're saying once they hit that max, when that moment happens,
yes,
I have just as much. But what I'm saying is that let's say, okay. So let's say we'll use your example of sexual interaction, and I see them holding hands or yes. I see them kissing. If my son,
yes,
when his girlfriend shows up, drops four digits down the backside of her jeans,
yes.
leans in and gives her full-blown tongue,
yes,
okay, then that is an example of me seeing what, if that's what he's doing in front of me,
yes.
then he has a misunderstanding of what the sexual boundary is in a public environment.
True.
Right?
Yes.
So my point is that if I see him interacting in a predetermined violent way, like,
yeah.
let me use this as an example. There's a young kid who is adorable. He is absolutely adorable, and he's a fucking pocket rocket. Like, he's just, let's go. He wants to wrestle everybody. He wants to fight everybody.
Yes.
And he punches. He hits every kid that he sees, and the mom says, no, we don't hit.
Yes.
We don't do that. And this child punches adults. Like, he'll just walk up and just boom. And I'm not saying, like, ha-ha, like, clock
yeah,
him,
yeah.
Okay.
I've told a story before about how their neighbor lived in this house.
Exactly.
Walked up and punched my son.
So if my kid had that at three,
yes,
I would guess, to be honest,
yes,
that I would be a little more ginger or tender about their giving them something like Call of Duty.
Okay.
But the reality of them is that these are two very empathetic children.
Yes.
They are very emotionally connected people.
Uh-huh.
They are very understanding of what a family unit is and what the obligation within that family unit
sure.
is to them and to us,
yeah.
and then also how that affects the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I feel like the kind of person that climbs to the top of a water tower is missing that connection.
Okay. A couple of things. First of all, I'm not challenging even remotely playing the game with them or the value of that or what it means. I don't know enough about anything to know, are you building future water climber towers by playing the game with them or not? I think mm-hmm. probably not. I think
it's definitely not.
I think that the number of people who do something horrible inspired by a video game or a violent movie or something is fractional. The problem is we're dealing with 300 million people,
mm-hmm.
so you still end up with 10 of them.
Right.
And that's
10
horrifying.
Is enough. 10, 10 is 10 enough. Too many.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, but that those guys, if it wasn't the game or the thing or the other thing, the fucking light switch would have told
yeah.
them to do it, and they
yes.
do it anyway. So it doesn't matter.
And that's my point.
The tainted things. But what I am challenging here is not, oh, this is okay, but that's not okay. I'm saying that everything that you've said about the importance of your being there to help them understand a concept or an idea that's maybe adult or something that's really down the line for them or whatever it is would apply just as much to the violence as it would to intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I'm saying you should sit around the campfire with them and say, now listen, if you're going to get a rim job, you know, not that. I'm not saying that part of it, but I
would do that. I would talk. Here's,
yeah,
maybe
I know
this
you
is,
would do that.
This is maybe, well, and I guess here's where I ask okay. the question is that do you, and because you're saying that you don't think it's a bad thing, or maybe it's a better way to describe it, is that you don't care whether it's good or bad, right, for what I'm doing to my kids.
Yes, because I'm
but
a guy
I'm saying,
I've wrestled with some of these same issues, and,
right.
and I know where I fall on the spectrum.
I would be just as open and transparent about sex and talking to them
mm-hmm.
As I would be about violence. I think that the reason that I would not sit down and watch a porno with them,
yeah,
because to make that example, and I'm hoping I'm backpedaling to the same point I was making
right.
earlier. The reason that I would not watch a porno with them, but I'm okay with them playing Call of Duty. To me, it's that thing that Jack Nicholson said, is that in our society, if you cut a titty off, it's an R rating, but if you lick it, it is an X rating. His point, I think, being that it's interesting that we are more comfortable with violence than we are with sexual forms of affection, right?
Yes. So, but in your particular case, it's coming from a guy who sat around the breakfast table saying, I still got junk on my wick is still wet from last night.
Right.
And so your purported super comfortableness with your folks and your mother and all of this open sexuality there does not seem to be applying here.
Because I won't watch a porno with my first grader.
Well, we've taken it to porno because we were using an extreme.
Okay. So a better example would be what? A love scene in a movie?
Well, whatever
or
it is.
A PG movie?
Just think of it this way. You wouldn't sit down today and throw it in the machine and go, it's going to be okay because I'm there with them. You wouldn't do that. I'm guessing. I mean, you're nodding your head, and I feel like you're going to answer just to kind of spite me.
No,
my guess is you wouldn't start.
Why,
okay.
I don't know who you think I am,
well, I
or why
either.
You think I'm the most. I feel like this is what I don't understand sometimes with you is that
yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm a pretty kind dude and
no,
a nice
no.
dude.
You're
but,
you're a good
and
guy.
I don't know if it's out
dude.
Of humor no. or, but I feel like you want to paint me into this. Heartless bastard.
No. Well, I'm
maybe I joke
you,
too much.
I'm asking you, would you sit down this afternoon and watch a hardcore pornography with them and that it would be okay because you were there with them to help take them through it?
The only way that I would,
yes,
is if I felt like my son was obsessively interested in it.
Okay.
If I felt like he was like, what's pornography?
Okay.
What and because it had happened at school or he'd heard me talking to a friend and making
okay.
a joke about it or
right.
anything along those lines.
Is he obsessively focused on violence?
No.
Okay.
But he loves video games. And
yes.
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between obsessively focused
know,
on violence and obsessively focused on video games.
In this thing, we're comparing left to right, anytime that you apply a standard to one side, I immediately need you to apply it to the other side to see if we're still in balance. And we're not. We keep falling out of whack. So if you're going to say he gets to see a porno because he's heard about it somehow and he's just hyper-focused on it and you feel like it would be helpful for him to see it to understand what that meant.
Right.
Then I'm saying, was that the standard
well, okay.
on the other side?
No, then here's the difference then. Now I get it. Is that the difference is
yes.
that I was playing a game. Okay?
Right.
They had kiddie games that they played up until the point that I think Jacob was 5 or 6 or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, they were doing Disney, you know,
yeah.
fly through the thing.
Skylanders,
and,
all
yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but that's not fun for me. Now, if my buddy Kevin
yes.
was their father, those games are his wheelhouse. He doesn't like Call of Duty.
Okay.
He's not into that kind of stuff or whatever, right? So, but to me, I like playing that. They want to play the football game. But to be honest, the concepts and the strategy of the game are so complex
yes.
that it's hard for them to do. But I sit down with him
yes.
in the same exact way I did when he said, can I try Call of Duty?
Yes.
And I said, you could try it. It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And so he sat down, and then eventually he worked his way through. He does the exercise with me on Madden's and everything. I think that the reason Call of Duty is a bigger presence is because I think it's a more clear example of what we see as a society as being a reason for violence. I think a lot of times the media likes to say these violent video games make children more violent.
I think it's a bigger presence because we have a thing inside of us that drives us towards that. We couldn't be here now if there wasn't part of our human composition that didn't require us to put down other things, to kill other things.
But I don't have that urge.
You don't, but you get enough pleasure out of playing the video game. See, I don't buy that. I don't have that urge either. I don't want to walk across and kill you. I'm not conscious of that sensation.
I didn't
say Luna. But no. I understand. But then I know that the reason I'm getting off on it is some ancient genetic thing. I just go, this is built into me. I just know that. I just want to do a side note because I think it's tragically accurate, and this isn't a judgment or even a reflection on you at all, that football is too complicated and too much for the young mind to handle.
Not the game of football.
No, no,
the
no.
video game.
The video game of football. Right. But that the game of war,
right.
of murder, is not.
Well, to call it war and murder, that's you're using sensational language.
All right. I thought it was interesting and cool. You can now jump on that if you want to.
They would love the game just as much
yes.
if it was paintballs or water balloons, and it's just about running around and trying to tag the other person. It's a digital version of tag.
But there are those games, and that's not what they're playing.
Right. Because they saw me playing those games.
Okay. Again, but you could have been getting just as much fun out of playing a paintball game, apparently.
Hell no.
Well, then neither can they. Because there's something else going on.
Your example is...
yes.
You fucking smugly laugh at me one more time, and your ass is out of here. You're saying that it's the idea of craving the violence or whatever, and the shooting, and the war, and the murder. Those were the words that you used.
Yes.
My point is that to me, it's not about the murder. It's not about the war. Not for them or even for me. It's the fact that for whatever reason, there was a game. Maybe it's the same reason that you described earlier. It's not the example for me, but maybe it's the example for other people. Or maybe they thought that's why it would sell. But they made that game Medal of Honor, right?
Yeah.
Set in World War II, to use your example, right? So it became really popular because people were interested in it. And then from there, it branched out into this series. Now they have a campaign mode on the game, but what's more fun is the play against other people. In my opinion, I think it's because people realize that if you play against a computer, an AI opponent, which is what they spend the majority of their time playing against, then it's not as fun. It's not as much of a challenge. But if I got the game, right, if I got the game that is paintball, say, or whatever, that's what I played, that's what they would want to play. I think it has more to do with that. I don't think that they are satiating some deeper desire to hunt down and kill another person.
And I would argue, to continue the consistency of my side, that the urge to hunt down anything is a primal one and is coming from somewhere deep inside. Even when I go to the supermarket and I have to get panty liners for my wife, I'm still hunting for something.
You're hunting down the best deal.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still a hunter. So anyway, just to make somebody laugh in this room. So that's that. So I'm sorry for that side thing. I thought it was this super cool idea. Apparently it just became more upsetting.
What do you mean?
When I was going like football, the game of football is too much. And actually the actual physical game is too much as well. I mean, they couldn't coach a team, and that's essentially what you have to do when you're playing the thing. But and then I used war, and then I used the word murder.
Right.
It got into this quagmire with you. But that's not what I was after. I was just sort of thinking that it was interesting that it was simpler.
Well, I know what you're doing. Yeah. Your point is to say that, the game of football is too advanced when we see that as a sporting event that young children play everywhere. But you say the game of war and murder is okay, in my opinion. And, and that, to me, just like you, I guess, get passionate about the idea of me comparing that because he'll really have sex and the likelihood of him really going around into a confined environment and hunting down other people from all over the globe
even a playground incident.
A playground,
You're not going to see either one of them happen.
So, I'm saying the point of saying that I'm not going to be able to guide him through his sexual interactions and the violence. Like, that was, I think, what started us down this whole path.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I don't like the idea of murder and war, because it's not murder and war. If you want to fundamentally break it down, it is digital tag and nothing more. But see, we see it because they are machine guns. Even though the guns now in the game may resemble real guns, but
they resemble them enough that when my kids see those guns on TV and other places, they go, they can identify what it is.
Right. The game that is now that my kids are playing in Black Ops 3 is that they're like futuristic weapons that, I mean, they resemble a rifle and they know what a shotgun is and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's just beating our heads against the wall or my head against the wall.
Possibly. All I was ultimately going to say about the two things is if all I was personally willing to do was to sit down and show my son a PG-13 romance movie that maybe had a little second base in it or something, then I should examine myself a little bit if I'm willing to do more than the equivalent in violence.
On the other side of the fence.
Yes. And I feel like there's a great disparity in terms of what...
So you think that Call of Duty is closer to hardcore porn in the violence versus affection spectrum?
Well, sure. I mean, you're no more... Listen, playing the video game, you're no more emotionally involved in the life and death of that person, the value of that other life.
Human being, right.
That other life, as you are when you watch, you porn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not really going, I wonder what her relationship with her father is. You know, that would really ruin it.
That would take you out of it?
Yeah, so generally, she's just a digital collection of, she's not a real, it's all the same
it's
things you were using.
In
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're using to describe the fakeness of the opponents in the video game, but ultimately, that is a real person there. So I don't know exactly where it's going, but I will just say as a somewhat related note, and I may have mentioned this before, when I was 11 or 12, my brother would have been a year or two younger than me, depending. And we got together with my uncle and his aunt and their kids, who were roughly our age, a little bit younger, but not that much younger, and all trying to figure out what movie to go see while we were camping in the mid-70s. And we said, Star Wars, we've seen it, it's great, we've seen it a bunch of times, we love it. And they go, yeah, but is it violent? So it's violent. We said, no, it's not violent at all.
Yeah,
it's
why?
It's great. They were furious. At the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old, or the 11-year-old.
Because you had sold them on a non-violent movie that was actually incredibly violent.
Because we had said it was not violent, and they considered it a very violent movie that then they wouldn't have let their children see had they known the level of violence.
This is an aunt or an uncle?
This is an aunt and an uncle in 1977.
That's
now, I would say, much as you go to the kid and go, are you allowed to play this? And he goes, yeah, don't ask for a kid for a review from a kid on whether something is appropriate or not. Because if the kid is seen.
But even by your example, I don't think there's a person listening to this that would see Star Wars as violent.
No, those two were. But this is a 1977 attitude. You're looking at it from a 2017. You're literally 40 years later, 30, whatever it is. Years, yeah.
I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have seen Star Wars in the 80s as a violent movie.
Because by then, we were already ruined.
Because of Star Wars?
Because of Star Wars.
We desensitized?
Yeah.
Soon we'll be fighting a giant robot.
So I'm saying this is that even something, you're like, I don't even see the argument on the other side. At least with this, with Call of Duty, you go, yeah, you do what you want to with my kids, but this is what I'm doing. But you can see their argument.
No, I don't. Here's the thing. I could see why they would think it, but I think it. Every time it comes from a place, and I mean this with all due respect, it comes from a place of ignorance that more of the people when I did a video game podcast and we would have kids call in with this question saying like, my parents won't let me play the game.
Yeah.
And these are teenagers. And I would say to them, my best advice to you is to talk to your parents in a mature fashion and say, what can I do to show you that I can handle this kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Because more often they had parents that just weren't into video games. For like, as an example, when I decided I wanted to play football, that was completely foreign to my father. He had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
But then what he decided to do was that since I was so passionate about it, he got involved and was invested in whatever way that he could do. He couldn't sit there and be like, okay, I'll be a D-back coach. Like, he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But he could be on the board. And he could be there at all the practices when he couldn't.
D-back or D-bag?
Defensive back.
Oh, okay, not D-bag coach.
Thank you. Yeah. So I think that because he would get invested and be there, maybe that's why, I don't know, that's why it makes sense to me.
Okay, but here's the thing, is there are millions of people who would agree with you that a kid who's investing his time in actual football, that's what you're talking about. You're not talking about your father watching you play a video game of football. You mean actual football.
Right.
That task of standing on the field with other young men.
Right.
And accomplishing a thing or failing together as a team teaches, and the practice involved and everything else goes into it, is hugely more valuable in terms of how it builds character and what it does for how you see the future than sitting on a couch in front of a bowl of Doritos killing a bunch of Japs.
Right, but my father also, I mean, he told me when I asked him.
Yeah.
When I said, do you have anything that you look back and regret?
Yes.
As a father, he said, no. And I go, really? And he goes, well, you used to play a lot of video games. And I used to kind of worry about that, but you were always a good kid, so it never bothered me.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then you grew up and made money with it, so it was a win. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think, here's what I think it is.
And you don't think that exchange influences your decision as to whether or not your boys should be playing video games? That very exchange was your own father going, I thought you played too many video games, but in the end it was okay.
Because it was.
I know. I'm saying that probably also is an influencing factor on how you look at whether or not your kids should be playing any games.
See, this is where I get confused with you, because the way you're saying that, like I should have had a negative reaction.
No, I'm saying that you could... Oh, God. Yeah, tell me what you think I'm saying.
It sounds like you're saying, that's why you think the way you think is because you had this positive reaction with your father in playing video games. But I feel like the reason I do what I do, and I've said that before, is because I am very happy with the way my father raised me.
Right.
And I am trying to replicate that.
Yes.
So, but when you say that, you like... I don't understand why I would think otherwise. Like, why would I look like? So the idea that you bring it up,
yes.
unless you're not, it doesn't feel like you're saying, oh, that's it. Yeah, that makes sense. What you're saying is like, well, of course you would think that crazy thing because your father said it was okay.
No, there's no crazy thing in it for me.
Okay,
there's no crazy.
I
know you keep feeling like I'm judging you. I don't know quite how to get that out of this.
Okay.
I am not judging you, other than saying and looking straight in your eyes and going, I am not judging you. And I'm not doing like this like that little shit who lied to you about whether or not
he was allowed
to play.
I don't feel like you're judging me. I get mildly frustrated, and that is completely honest.
Yeah.
When you make a point in your mind that I don't understand, and then when I kind of look at you with a confused look, you snicker. As if I am somebody who doesn't understand.
Hang on a second.
That's why I say, right. If you smugly laugh at me.
Okay, but here's the thing. You were grossly misjudging what I was laughing about.
Okay.
When I laughed before and you called it smugly laughing at you, and that if I did it again, you were gonna remove me from the premises.
Yeah.
I was very upset by that because you were misinterpreting my laughter, which was partly was just this massive tension that's building up, and I'm looking to break it by laughing. People, you ever hear this? That people, now I am being smug and condescending.
What? Now, but, stop. So you find it that hard to believe
but I would
ever draw that conclusion?
I never said it was hard to believe.
You're saying that one incident, okay. That's not what I meant.
Here's the thing. I'm not sitting over here snickering at you. Uh-huh. I'm not even anywhere near comedy now. And if that's really where we're at, that's the interpretation, then I think we are done.
We're breaking up?
Well, we could be, because there's clearly a great disconnect between my spontaneous reactions and your feeling as though they're jabs at you or barbed at you.
I don't always feel that they are.
It doesn't matter. If you consider any of them that way, we're out of bounds. You and I are perfectly equals.
Uh-huh.
I might not have said this 16 months ago. I might have been a little bit more holier than now. But as of my fall
again,
from grace...
where would I ever draw the conclusion that is what you would be doing subtextually when you say, I may not have said this 16 months ago. You've been doing the show with me for 2 years.
Yes.
And what you're saying is that 16 months ago, you had a holier-than-thou attitude.
I'm saying prior to that point, I might have had a higher horse to sit on.
Right.
But I have been humbled.
Humbled?
First of all, what was that ding?
I don't know. Somebody's texting me, and I don't know how to turn it off.
Jesus Christ. And my sheets are drying in the sun. We're never going to get to
it's
that.
It's all archaic.
Oh, my God.
Let's get to it.
Listen, no, hang on.
Oh my God, so long.
All right. That's all right. I don't know. Is there anybody still in the chat room?
No, they've all left. Everybody's gone.
Are you serious?
No, no, I'm kidding. No. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I was not thinking
no, that's
of them.
Okay.
But
that's okay. They're just there. I just want to know
there.
That they
the usuals.
All fled. All right,
the usual fine. Suspects are all there. Do you? Here's the thing.
I had an aha moment when you mentioned about the conversation between you and your father,
right?
And that you it feels like you've spent a lot of energy defending a position against a non-attacker.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking to say, if anything, I'm examining what appears to me to be an inconsistency, not specifically the part where would you show them that, but where my right hand indicates sexuality, my left hand indicates violence. actually, it should be the opposite. But in any case, so there was no judgment there. And when you explained about your father, I went, oh, okay, I guess what I meant, I don't know how it sounded when I went, well, of course you'd feel that way. And
right.
It wasn't me saying, of course you'd feel that way because your father said that crazy thing. You added that. That's never part of my attitude.
And
I now have an understanding. I'm looking for the understanding of where you came to your position.
Oh, I see.
Not judging that position.
Yeah.
But really what I was saying is, football is far and away a better activity to invest with in your kids than playing video games. This is said as a guy who's never invested in any moment of football or any athletic thing with
maybe
his kids.
Maybe the grass is greener. I think that there are merits to both. I think that to me, and maybe
so
I'm splitting hairs, I think it's the investment that matters.
But tell me, yes, but your father never invested with you in the video games when you were younger. He just said subsequent, oh, by the way, it turns out I worried too much about that.
My father never invested in me in video games is because he was never home.
Right.
When I played them.
I think also
he was always working. And then, but here, let me finish.
Okay, okay.
Is that, but what I find very interesting,
yeah.
And one of the reasons why I love that man so dearly and really admire him, is that he now plays video games with his grandkids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He bought a PlayStation.
Yes.
He, when he comes here, he asks my sons to teach him, and it's because I don't even know that he knows that he's doing it most of the time, but all he knows is that there's a way to connect with children and it is on their terms. For a guy who spent so much of my childhood, mm-hmm. in my opinion, dictating
yes.
everything around me
oh,
to get older and
yes.
to realize that there was boundaries.
Yes.
But on so many levels, he was connecting and doing things like he pointed this out to me recently that I never even knew. We used to go sailing all the time when I was a kid.
Yes.
The only reason he took me sailing is because one of the times he took me, I was mildly interested in it, and he said, this is the thing.
Okay.
This is the thing that my son will do that no other kid his age or in his social circles or whatever will do. He will know how to sail a Hobie Cat, and that is where confidence comes from.
Yeah.
So he takes this little interest. And he doesn't push. He provides. He just lays out the next breadcrumb.
Right.
And then if I keep picking up breadcrumbs, so it went from him teaching me a little bit on how to sail and all this stuff when I thought he was just like, it was all for him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Next thing I know, I have my own 14-foot Hobie Cat that I'm cruising around at 10 years old on a lake by myself. It used to freak my mother out.
Oh, it's bothering me to hear about it. And I know you didn't drown.
And the thing is, well, here's the thing, is that all of us, all of our minds go to that dark place.
Yeah.
Even as parents. Like now, if my son at 10, I would have to remember this and what my father did for me to push through it, right?
Yeah.
I went out there and I turtled the boat. I flipped it. Mm-hmm. And I remember being about, I had to be 9 or 10 or something. Maybe it was 11. But
yeah.
I flipped that boat and I remember it. I remember going, oh, I'm riding it. It's on one pontoon. I'm like, this is really cool and everything. And then a gust came. And I pushed on the rudder to stern it into the wind. I'm sorry, this is a lot of detail for an audio medium. And I remember falling and going, I cannot fall into the sail. In the minute, in an instant, I was thinking all of this stuff. I can't fall into the sail. I have to, and if I do, I have to get out from underneath it because I knew I had a life jacket on.
Yeah.
So I get out. I go around. I had seen my dad. My father never showed me how to right the boat. I'd only done it with him when he had flipped it a couple times.
Right.
there's a bungee cord that wraps around the top part of the boat. And what you do is you, while the boat's, imagine it on its side. So the sail is parallel and in the water.
Yeah.
You got one pontoon on the water, one pontoon in the air, sticking up at a right angle, right?
Yes.
There's a bungee that you grab and you lean back with your weight. When I was 9 years old, I weighed all of 70 pounds.
Right.
So there's
right.
no way I could flip that boat, but I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wind caught the trampoline and turtled it. So now the sail is pointing directly down. The boat is completely upside down. I am in the middle of a reservoir
yeah.
by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go, okay, I can't panic. So I go, the first thing, the sail, I didn't cut it loose. So I had to go back on the boat, uncleat the sail. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep trying to pull it. These guys were coming by in a powerboat in their probably 20s.
Yeah.
And they see me. They go, hey, can you help? And I said, yeah, if a couple of you don't mind. And it was this really empowering thing for me to have these older guys come swim up to the boat and go, what do we do?
Right.
And I said, I need you to grab this thing, and then we're all going to lean back. And then they helped me right the boat, and then I get on it, and I didn't go back to camp. I sailed away, and they're like, see you later, kid. And I felt like the baddest motherfucker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it until I was 36 years old because my father told me about this when I got older. He was like, that's why I did the boat. There's no way I could generate self-confidence yeah. unless you go through an experience and come out on top on your own.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, sure. Could you have drowned? Yes. All of the horrible things in the world could have happened.
Yes.
But I thought it was worth the risk for the benefit that was involved. And I thank him every day for that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I really feel that even as mixed up and as neurotic as I get, I don't think I would be as happy as I am today if it wasn't for that kind of stuff. To use the same kind of example of fast-forwarding past the Disney movie stuff, you know what I mean? The bigger part of the umbrella that comes out of a guy who says, this is what I'm going to do for my kid. And as much as I thought he was a dickhead for making sure that I always had a job or two all the time when I was a teenager, when I get out of that and I hit my mid-20s and I go, I'm figuring shit out now. Then it hits me, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. Blah, blah, blah. Dumb story. Sorry. So here's the thing. Before we move on, did you have something?
No.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm
all
fine.
All right. You said you had stuff. Is it all sopped in sheets outside?
Whatever it is, it was probably 30 minutes of content, so let's leave it for another day.
I could cut out most of this and we could do it now.
No.
There's probably a good 40 minutes of this that nobody's ever going to want to hear.
It can wait. No, I think they will. I think it will be considered very intense because it felt intense in here, and I'm sure that communicated to the listeners. I almost, Frosty Stillman'd my way out this door. Frank.
That's a Southern California radio reference for those of you listening abroad.
There was a day where one of them just got up and left the studio.
And never came back. He didn't leave on the air. He just, the next day, wasn't on the show anymore.
I think he walked out of
On the air?
I think he walked out. I turned on just after everything went to hell.
That's awesome.
So I didn't even hear it happen. But.
And that was before they podcast every radio show imaginable.
Exactly. No. We can, right, exactly. Those aren't, there's no way to get that stuff. Oh, how sad.
All right. Well, then, do you want to do some moments of the week and wrap up then?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to do your stuff? I have until 2:00.
No.
All right. Let's do a moment of the week then.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thetadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, hit me, Paco.
Sorry, I had all that time to cough, and then my throat got nervous. Yes. This is going to be another patented weirdo Paco thing. It's not like a single laser focus thing that happened. Just that Diego is going to graduate soon. And I'm sure I'll have a few things to say about sitting and watching that happen.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm sure you'll be glad to hear that for weeks, we knew the prom was on the horizon and he was not going to happen. There's
nowhere
to go. All his friends are, he has a large number of friends who are juniors, and each one of them would have to have a date to the prom in order for everyone to go as a group. And I'm like, yeah, but do they have, like, gender requirements? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, then a bunch,
a bunch of dudes go.
You could just break it up, and it's him, and he's
a bunch of chicks. He's the man.
He's got a harem. So
yeah,
but so it just wasn't going to happen, and he wasn't going to go, and that was that. And then about 10 days ago, he was like, yeah, I'm going to ask someone to the prom. I'm like, oh yeah, who's a, you know? And I'm looking for any of the many names that he might mention. Mentions the name of a young lady. I've never heard of this person before.
Well, hello, Sailor.
And I'm like, how do you, you know, what's the story? And so that apparently she's in one of his classes, and so he's known her, but they haven't really had much to do with one another other than, you know, hey, you got a number two pencil, you know, or whatever his moves are.
Icebreaker line they do now. What are the kids are saying?
Yeah. So he buys a bunch of supplies at Michael's, and he builds like a little card that says, you know, prom with a question mark, just like that. It's very fairly simple. He's been doing some really cool elaborate.
That is awesome.
He's been doing these really cool elaborate, just paper works, like where he'll take what's that guy?
You're right. This kid is going to slay in Italy.
Yeah, he is. He is.
He's going to slay.
Darth Vader, Stormtroopers. Who's the Fett?
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. He'll take those the shapes of those helmets, and then he'll build them out of paisley and just these collection, you know, like your boards up here. So you just look at it. It's just this amazing art that's inspired by this other thing. So he did one of those for that. And then he took a hike with her up a local hill and sprung it on her up at the top of the hill. And I was trying to do the math. I'm like, if she tells him to go to go fuck himself, then are they going to be down quicker, or is it going to take longer? Or so I was trying to judge on how long it took to get the call. And then I had them in the car, and I could not tell whether or not he had even asked her, let alone whether she'd said yes or not. And then we get to the house, and we're dropping her off, and he says, oh, don't forget your thing. And she goes, that's right, buddy, I won't. I thought, oh, she called him buddy. That's a no.
But in front of you, though?
You know, all she had to do was, oh, I won't, but...
But is that in front of you, though?
Yeah, it is in front of me.
Yeah, I think
buddy,
that's why.
The buddy felt like I just was getting a whole other vibe from her in the car, a super cold vibe.
But maybe he's okay with that. Listen, I was stuck in the friend zone for a long time, and now I got two beautiful children with the love of my life.
That's true.
Not that. Let's not put that pressure on the poor guy.
I understand.
He's got mad game. I had no game.
She did say yes.
Natalie was the only time I laid down game, actually.
And this girl is, I can't tell you how hot she is, because it would be illegal for me to describe how.
But it's enough to, I think as a dad, you can kind of go, all right, buddy.
And also very different from any of the other girls that he's sort of been interested in.
He's doing a little pregame for Italy.
Yeah, so, yeah, seriously. So, and then shopping for his tux and just.
Oh, I can't wait for that story to come
again. So I know, here we are with prom, you know, coming up.
Now that you're an Uber driver, do you get to be the Uber driver who takes them to the beach house?
We haven't quite gotten to that whole conversation yet, but the other thing one of the two things I was going to bring in is a whole sort of prom related thing that the school is doing now that I thought might get you fired up, but I'll tease that for next time. Hopefully the prom won't already
I'm so
have
sorry
occurred.
I spilled booze all over it. I feel horrible. Right.
Well, it wasn't the booze on it as much as it was then this huge sidetrack that we ended up in. This is what happens when I finally open my mouth, is we don't get to anything we want to. So
that's not true.
In any case, he is just it's just very sweet to see him sort of
that world is so exciting for me. I gotta be honest. That's cool. Mine is less sentimental, but more insulting to me in that Jack, it's a combined moment. Jack had this very sweet moment. Jack is the repayment, the revenge, the retribution for whatever I did to my father in the form of never shutting up.
That's funny because Chad is my mother-in-law's curse to her daughter. And I'm like, what did I ever do to the woman?
I don't know what Natalie did.
This curse
did
happened 30 years ago, but I got to be stuck with it.
But Jack loves to spin a yarn. He loves, and it's unfortunate because his storytelling skills are still burgeoning. It's a lot of the same story again. He's a Catskills comedian,
right?
He's working the same room all month. He got it. Like, you need to travel more, buddy.
Yeah.
Because he's got to tell you the same story four times in a row sometimes. Right. And the only thing
does
he's
he
got
know my dad?
Yes, exactly. He's an elderly man in advanced stages. But he does a lot of the facial expressions, which make it funny. So they're watching Michael Jackson videos. I don't know what the educational purpose is of that, but it's preschool. Fuck it.
At preschool, they're watching Michael Jackson. Yes, it's, not even Prince.
Nope.
Okay.
But the guy who lets him play Call of Duty can't really get up on a high horse, can he?
No, you can't.
So anyway, they're watching. I think it's because they're doing the Thriller dance for their end of the year graduation.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if I don't see Michael Jackson dancing in some way, shape, or form.
Garbage can.
So he says, we're in the minivan driving back, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, do you know Michael Jackson?" And this is what I love, what it is to be all of our children. This is not just my children. This is everyone listening's children.
Sure.
The world is new to them, and they like you said, the primal thing that they're born with.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's more about how stupid you are and how smart they're. Like, he's 4 years old. How much of the world can, it's not like he has to come and help me program my VCR, to use a horrible reference and example.
Yes.
It's like I did for my grandparents. But the he goes, "Do you know Michael Jackson?" And I kind of have a chuckle. I say, "Yeah, I know Michael Jackson." He goes, "Do you know his dancing?" I said, "Yes, son, I'm familiar with his dancing." I said, "Are you referring to the moonwalk?" And he goes, "What's that?"
Oh, my God, said, that's funny.
That's a Michael Jackson dance. This is what I love, too, what it is to be a child. No, it's not. Thriller, that's a dance.
That's a dance.
I'm not kidding. He says, Thriller, that's a dance. I said, "Well, that's one of his many dances." I go, "Well," and then I go down the rabbit hole of what it is to be me.
Yeah.
He and I are like a snake eating itself. We just keep, tangent. Because then I'm like, "Well, to be honest, he did a lot of repeats. You know what I mean? He had the moonwalk,
right.
And then there's the arm out, and then the grabbing the crotch. And then after that, it was like, well, he's doing all variations with his shirt open or closed. That's about it.
Yes.
Various Jerry Curl style hairdos. And so I go, "Well, you didn't have a lot of moves." He goes, "No, he's got a lot of moves." And I'm like, "Yeah." And then he goes, "Well, can you do the Thriller dance?" And before I could get a word out, Jacob comes in with the tone as if to save me. But what he doesn't know, to go back to our Call of Duty conversation, is that he's got a combat knife. And unknowingly, he's wielding it and shoving it deep into my back.
Yeah.
And then twisting it to leave the open wound. He goes, "Jack, Dad is 36. Number one, I'm 37, fucker. Thanks for paying attention." Go back. "Jack."
Well, he's still catching up on podcasts.
"Dad is 36. You don't do dances like that when you're old."
Oh, my God.
I started laughing hysterically, and I kind of did the check-in in the rearview mirror, thinking in my stupid fatherly brain that I'm going to see a child smirking back at you like, zing, like,
right.
Bazinga, I got gotcha, you, you know, like, but instead, I get the, "Why are you laughing?" Like, as if to go,
"Crazy old man.
He's falling off the floor even farther faster than I thought." Like, I'm laughing, and I go, like, I go, and then I kind of go, "Huh," because I'm the only one laughing in the car. And he kind of looks, he goes, "What's so funny?" And I go, "So I'm old, huh?" He doesn't pick up on the smile or anything in my face. He was like,
right.
"Yeah." I go, "So then," I don't know why I had to take him down too. I go, "Well, if I'm old, what is Grandpa?" And he goes, "Really old?" Like, without even missing a beat. And I said, "Oh, kid, you are fucking hilarious." And then he looks at me like, I don't think. And he kind of smiled at that point, like, "All right, whatever, crazy guy."
I would have loved it if you had been able to climb out of the van when you got home and thrillered your way into the house.
Right? Well, that's what I mean. But that's the unfortunate. There's a little bit of truth and a lot. Let's be honest. There's a lot of truth. I am too old to Thriller dance.
Yes.
But also, ironically, I am closer to age to Thriller dance than they are. And, that was another part of the conversation. I said, he said, "How did you put it?" He goes, "Michael Jackson was young when he did that stuff."
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then I go, and then he said, "Were you alive?" How did he put it? Jack goes, "So did you see the Thriller?" I go, "Yeah, Jake." I go, "Or Jack, I saw them a lot." And then Jacob goes, yeah, Dad, he goes, you have to remember, Dad's older than us. So he saw them. It was just before we were born. I go, no, it was not just before you were born. And he's like, he looks at me again. I go, how old do you think I was when Thriller was happening?
Right.
And Jacob, like, he's trying to do the math. He's like, I don't know, 20, like, kind of thing. And I look it up on my phone. I said, I was your brother. I was 4 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say.
And then it was like, they were like, what?
You're right.
Then they couldn't comprehend. So that was my moment of the week.
And the only other thing that would top all of that is if I Thriller dance out of here.
We both Thriller. We do a flash mob to go pick him up from school right now. That's the only way we can end this. Well, the funny thing, too, I've told that story where Natalie can actually dance. Like, she knows how to do it. And they watch the So You Think That's Why Jack's in the Hip Hop. And then Jack has the story where he was like, Mom, do you know hip hop? She was like, yeah. He goes, show me. Like he's calling out a B-boy, but like he sets down some kind of like, not a real cardboard box, but like something from his Batcave playset that's only not even an eighth. It's a 16th of an inch, whatever, -2 gauge cardboard. So he's just got this flat, shitty piece of cardboard. And so Natalie busts out in some like freestyle hip hop that I saw. Yeah. It was good. And then she was like, ta-ta-ta. She like ties it all together and then ends it with like a point at him.
Yeah.
And then he goes, that's it. Fucking asshole. All right, that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to give us a like at dadpodcast.com, or no, facebook.com/dadpodcast. Join the group, Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. That's a Facebook page where you can interact with other like-minded parents who like the ramblings of this dumbass and Paco. And what else? Oh, Hollywood RX, Paco's
Hollywood
podcast.
RX, there are new episodes up and more coming.
What was the last movie you discussed?
Midnight Special
with the kid. That's
right.
We're talking
and then
about
we
that.
Also did what's the one? 10 Cloverfield Lane.
What's the? Oh, that's right. What's the? What is there any on the horizon? I don't know how often you do it. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I just saw Jungle Book.
Hmm. Did you like it?
Well, I think you'd have to play a song if I was going to tell you whether or not I liked it. I liked it. Go see it with your kids and whatnot.
Really? You like Jungle Book?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, the story part of it. Listen
to him. What do you mean? Yeah, of course.
We know the story, so there's no surprises there. But if your kids don't know the story, that plus just numbing visuals.
Oh,
just absolutely seamless. You know, doing an animal, doing fur, doing hair, that is
boom.
Very hard. And it definitely looks like this kid is interacting. I mean, I didn't realize that all the sets were also digital. So there's he's running around in a warehouse in
that's true.
In North Hollywood or something,
that's
you
true.
Know.
In a green room, just, yeah. whoa, interacting with Bill Murray, who's sitting in a chair.
Yeah, in a diaper. Yeah. And I think I heard that like the Henson Creature Shop had built puppets for him to interact with, but those don't appear, as far as I know, on camera.
Wow. That's cool. All right, well, of that, you can figure on Hollywood RX. Just search Hollywood RX. You're looking for the symbol that has the movie clapper, that thing where they go take two.
Exactly.
That you see in all the movies about making movies. On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship saying hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.